Hey guys, welcome back to the Jessica Jones After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We're going to dig into episodes 4 through 6 today, aka God Help the Hobo, aka The Octopus, and aka FaceTime. Let's get started.
You're tuning into the destination for TV super fan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh my God. Twists! Ah. Such twists!
Love
called
them
it
twists.
Last week or last Sunday.
Did you?
I said that one of her family is
That's
still
true.
Alive.
That's yeah. true. All right.
I
hey, guys.
I thought it was the brother.
I was waiting for that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll get into all of this.
Yeah. Sure.
Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Jessica Jones After Show. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. I'm so excited to dig into all these episodes. We're going to get into the twist reveal of Jessica's mom. We're going to get into Trish and her addiction storyline. Trish and Malcolm. I was going to say, who saw that coming? But we kind of all saw that coming. And Dave and Dr. Carl and Justice Pembrose. Why are we talking about octopuses? I don't know. We'll find out. But let's get started. Let me introduce to you the panel for today. We have Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hi.
And Jesse Klein.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
Emma Fife, unfortunately, could not join us today, but she'll be back with us soon for the next set of episodes. As we always say, if you are with us live in the chat, first of all, thank you for tuning in live. But second of all, if you've watched ahead of these episodes, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it for us. Don't spoil it for anybody else who might be watching. Even please be careful in the comments if you're watching later.
Spoiler alert.
No, we're not.
Spoiler alert.
That's the wrong alert.
That's the wrong alert.
Anti-spoilers.
We're telling
please.
You not to get spoilers. There's no spoilers past episode 6. We're going to dig through these episodes, but we haven't seen 7 or on, and some of our viewers may not, so please be respectful. What did you guys think of this set of episodes?
I love them way more than the last three, honestly.
Yeah.
I
thought they were interesting. There are some parts I really liked. There are some parts I didn't like as much. Or at least I don't know if they were earned. The whole Trish thing I feel like is missing. I feel like something got edited out and is missing just a single beat from it.
Interesting.
I feel like if we had had a moment where Trish kind of had talked about feeling weak and like needing something to like make her feel strong, and then we started seeing her use the inhaler that was being used by Simpson, it would have all worked. But it just kind of went from her she just went straight to using that inhaler. And I feel like it was missing like one beat of her like just feeling weak, basically, and needing something for an edge.
Got it. So for you, because I guess like her plot line is really tied to she's been looking for fulfillment this season.
Yeah.
And you needed a little bit more of the danger aspect.
Well, just I think I get that the inciting incident is the last two seasons, but something to push her over that edge.
Do you think you don't think the death of Simpson was that thing?
I mean, it could have been, but I don't think we saw that moment
for her. We didn't see her internalize that.
Yeah, and I would have liked to have seen that.
Or maybe even dealing with Max, where she was just having to. Of course, when she talked to her mom, she had to go back to her past, and then talking to Max as well.
Yeah.
Maybe she kind of wanted to keep up with Jessica in a different way and do something more for herself. Because, you know, when they both confronted Max and Jessica punched through the car, maybe she wanted to do something more. And, of course, like, you know, with her career, she hasn't been able to get past that certain point.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
She is still the daytime talk show host, and she's just sort of stuck in there. I thought it was a very powerful moment for, like, just Trish and her arc. Once they get through the proposal, where you find out Griffin's not
a bad guy.
We all were like ready to pounce on him. Like, oh man, who's he working for? Is he a villain? Like, he's gonna like kill somebody.
She's here.
Hold on. He was just trying to set up an epically cute proposal.
I don't know. I think calling up all of your friends and family over for a proposal is unfair.
I actually am sort of on your side there. I think it was very cute. Here's the thing. That is a very great proposal if you have, like, already basically decided between the two of you. If you've said that, like, yeah, I think we should probably get married, but, like, you haven't, like, officially asked the question. You're like, okay, it's really just a matter of I have to ask. So I did this big
ask,
thing.
Ask, not just say, I want you to marry me, kind of a thing. I was kind of waiting for him to be like, will you marry me, Trish? And nothing. I was like, this is ridiculous. But then how awkward for Trish walking into it thinking that she's going to have this amazing career opportunity and then just heartbroken. Oh, it's just Griffin.
Oh, it's just a marriage proposal.
That's annoying.
Hey, your finger looks naked, was his line.
That's so stupid.
I couldn't decide if that was good stupid or bad stupid.
I think it was pretty bad stupid.
Well, and then calling for Jessica, Trish needs you right now. Oh my, Griffin, like, really? So then she shows up already frantic. You know,
I think because he knows if he he told everybody else what he was doing, but he knows if he told Jess would be like, Trish, heads up.
Or she'd just be like, that's dumb. I'm not going to.
Don't do it. Well, and it also felt a little bit weird because we don't know. I mean, when we started in season two, they had already been together for a little bit. So for us, we only catch them from when we started watching the season. So it just felt really rushed and awkward and weird.
Did you guys like Griffin? Or like him? And then did you like him for Trish? It's really, I guess, two questions.
I mean, I thought he was fine. I mean, he seemed like a cool dude. like, as far as, like, he'd accepted that Trish was friends with Jess, like, he might not have liked her, but he also didn't, like, actively make her not part of Trish's life as well, which is what, like, a jerk would do. And he seemed to be supportive of her and everything like that, which I think was a problem for Trish.
It was too much.
Yeah.
Too clingy.
Yeah,
he was fine.
The moment that really, like, that I very much heard as somebody who has, like, dated people with the same career path as myself, the idea of, like, I didn't want to be with him. I wanted to be him.
Sure.
And that as a thing that's destroying a relationship was very real world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that happens as much outside the entertainment industry, but I've definitely seen that happen in a lot of real relationships. It's a tough thing. And that, like, that as a thing that Trish was, like, realizing, and then I have to step away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know how much of that is Trish. That's the problem, is now she is an unreliable narrator, because we don't know how much is Trish and how much is the drug speaking. Like, she said that while going through withdrawals, like, still chasing the high of the inhaler. So, like, we don't know if she turned down the proposal because she didn't like Griffin anymore, or if it was because he was getting in the way of her, like, investigating this and, you know, using that inhaler and getting on buses and kicking people in the chest. Like,
that's true. Although, when she's talking with her mom, she's saying, like, this is just me. Like, I'm fully sober. I just don't want it.
But that was a lie. We saw that she wasn't sober.
Yeah.
That she'd been using the inhaler.
Yeah, I mean, like, not completely sober, but I believe
she is
her.
Like, at any point, I do think that, like, so a lot of this comes from a place of truth, like, whether or not she would necessarily express it this way had she been sober. But it is true, like, she, even when she's not actively on the inhaler now, she is in an addiction path, and nothing she says can really be trusted.
Well, and we've seen her lie multiple times in these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
She's lied to everyone, basically.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we don't know what Trish is thinking right now.
Which I think it's interesting, because we're seeing Trish alienate herself in a way where Jessica's trying to work with other people.
Yeah.
So that's a nice little reverse.
Yeah, well, Trish is on the way down. Jess is on the way up.
Yeah. It's an interesting difference for them. Although Jess is still drunk. Let's be clear.
She's not that's fully. Her zero.
Yeah, that's her baseline.
Yeah, that's fair.
I thought her beating someone on a bus was interesting, because Like, we saw last season that her face is on buses. So, like, it's not like it's Jess or just some random person kicking someone out of a bus. It is a daytime celebrity that millions of people listen to and used to know as Patsy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder if there's going to be any repercussions for her for that, because, like, she is a celebrity.
I mean, last year, she was just, like, somebody approached her and put his hand on her.
Yeah.
And she got slapped with an assault charge.
Exactly, yeah.
Which, like, in that case, like, any good lawyer can argue, like, he shouldn't have put his hands on her and she has a right to defend herself.
Yeah.
But this case, she went looking for trouble. Like,
yeah.
She wasn't involved in this. I don't even think she saw it. She just heard somebody go, like, did you just touch me? And then was like, oh, hell no. And she kicked him in the chest.
Out of a bus.
Yeah. So we don't even, like, and as far as we're concerned, the audience, we don't know what really happened. It's possible he slid on the bus. It's possible he was touching her.
Yeah.
But it's irrelevant because Trish didn't know.
She's like getting ready to pounce.
She chased a dude because she saw a bulge in the back of his pants. She thought it was a gun, and it turned out it was the power of positive thinking.
Good for that guy. It's important to get that in paperback.
Kind of better himself.
He also held that really funny. Like, he held that, like, up in front of him, like, see what I'm reading?
And then we see her with a machine gun of some sort.
Yeah, she is armed.
Yeah.
She, like, she went to, like, a Frank Castle, like, garage sale.
Yeah.
It was just like, can I, like, load up with a...
And then a super taser.
Yeah.
Like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's
a taser that could take down Jess.
Yeah. What an interesting arc she had these three episodes. I feel like we're, like, one or two episodes away from, like, really seeing the full picture of her.
All we need is a yellow jumpsuit and a black mask, and we'll be good to go.
That's what we're waiting
for. So maybe some blue boots.
Yeah. And then Jess in the jewel costume.
I am really interested. I'm so curious if they're going to try to go a Hellcat story with her. Do a Hellcat story with her. Like, they're obviously pushing her towards crime fighting and all that, but I don't know how Hellcat's, like, story, especially connected to her powers, are so supernatural based.
Well, Hellcat's most recent incarnation, yeah.
Yeah.
But originally Hellcat was just, like, a good martial artist.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She knows Krav Maga already.
I mainly have read her since getting her demon powers.
Yeah. So it could just be she's a good martial artist, or I guess maybe she'll get injected with some super serum at the laboratory or something like that. Like,
yeah. All very possible.
Yeah.
I mean, we're about halfway through the season, and I think they're going full speed ahead with Trish, that I would not be surprised if they really...
Maybe she'll get injected with some octopus DNA.
Sure.
Before we move off of Trish, we do need to talk about her and Malcolm.
Yep.
What do you guys think of that relationship?
Well, she's one of many women we see Malcolm sleeping with.
Can't even remember their names.
These three episodes.
Well, when you're using that, like, not Tinder app that he was going on, like, he's like, I don't know, I was already courting a Miriam and a Mary and a Maisel. You're one of them.
I never picked up that Malcolm had a thing for Trish. I never picked that up until Jessica said that.
Oh. I had picked it up a little bit before that. It was never there, like, last season or anything like that. But he also wasn't sober last season. But they've slowly started to bond, I've noticed that.
Especially because she trusted him when going to see Max. And she said, like, don't tell Jessica. So they had that kind of special bond. But I feel bad for Malcolm because I don't know exactly what Trish's motives were. Like, if she just wanted to, you know, get it on with someone or what exactly.
I think she would have slept with anybody who came in there. It helped that it was somebody that she knew. But, like, those drugs were forcing her forward.
Yeah.
Like, basically, I think those drugs are acting as a they are acting as a stimulant, like, which in this case I think is just like basically putting her in a mode of like, I must do things. I'm going to do things. Grow
You're
up,
welcome.
Amy.
Thank you. That's for you guys.
I think she would have killed or had sex with anyone in front of her.
Whatever it was, she wanted some kind of adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that could have been fighting or it could have been another F word. But I'm interested to see what happens once that gets back to Jess, because neither one of them is going to be able to play it cool. Jess is going to know in like 5 seconds.
Sure.
The instant she sees either one of them, oh my God.
I think Malcolm's getting his heart broken.
Yes, for sure.
I think for sure Trish doesn't care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But let's shift over to Jess's story and get into all of that. There's a lot of stuff here.
More detectiving.
A lot of detectiving.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of so we started with Dave.
Yes. Ooh, very Silence of the Lambsy. I love that.
Crazy. Do you think he was crazy before?
I'm not sure. He seemed like either he was or he was on the way to being crazy, mm-hmm. and that's why he was taken advantage of like that.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I mean...
And so they put him in that... They worked with him in a place just because like they knew he was going to be easy to manipulate.
Yeah.
They need, the more people they can have around them to manipulate, the better.
Yeah. And all that stuff about octopus DNA is true. Like, we don't know where it's from. There's no other animal that has the type of DNA that an octopus has.
It's extraterrestrial, basically. Yeah, they're fascinating creatures.
Yeah.
They're also delicious, as a side note.
They are.
It makes me really sad that they are.
I won't eat it.
Because I stopped eating it, like, years ago.
I don't
Since I learned that, literally, like, they may be close to, the most intelligent animals on the planet.
Well, other than humans.
Yeah. The thing is that we don't know about their intelligence levels because they are so solitary. They may just not need to, like, most of like how humans communicate and like what we call consider intelligence is based on societies and how we've grown that. But octopi, like, they just are extremely solitary creatures.
Yeah,
they just may not give a damn.
That's true. But yeah, that's why I don't eat octopus, because they're intelligent enough to recognize themselves in a mirror.
And
that's
they have,
my test whether or not I want to eat something.
They also have been shown to have creativity.
Yep. Oh, they definitely do that.
Which is like, they've shown them like rearranging rocks outside of their caves that they've like studied, and there's no purpose to it. It's literally, they're just like...
Coloring.
They're basically coloring the outside of their cave. They're organizing their garden.
Okay. I'm never going to eat octopus again. I've only had it once.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry if you're an octopus fan. Also, if you've ever been to an aquarium and looked at an octopus, you've never seen an octopus like it was in this show. Like, they are...
Oh, yeah.
They don't like being looked at, so they, like, go into a corner and hide, or, like, hide under a rock.
They're very much CGI octopus.
They're not freely swimming about their habitat. If this was accurate, the octopus would have been, like, squished in a corner trying to hide.
Yeah.
This one's an actor, though.
The octopi...
This one is an actor, you're right.
It's true.
Oh, man.
What's my motivation?
But while we're talking about the octopus, like, what do you think the... use of their DNA is, like, that's the one thing I can't quite figure out, because they do have some regenerative power. It just was an interesting animal choice to go with, only because it's Marvel and octopuses are such a loud animal, especially in New York City. Do you think it's as simple as just octopus DNA has regenerative, like, octopuses can regenerate their legs in a lot of cases, and that's it? We're going from there?
I think, yeah. I don't think there was anything deeper to that other than to get them to the aquarium on the date that the doctor was with their mom.
Yeah, but they continue to show it. Like, they keep showing those little close-ups of, like, that those vials in the house are octopus samples and stuff like that. Do you think that's it? You don't think we're going to have to, you're going to be dealing with that anymore?
Yeah, I mean, are you asking, do I think there's going to be some sort of eight-legged monster that Jessica fights at the end?
Maybe suction cup monster.
Some sort of suction cup, sharp-beaked beast. No.
I mean, I think the DNA is going to come back, for sure. I mean, no monsters. But, I mean, and it was mentioned that there was a kid. I want to say his name was Ian. Ian Powerstool something. Where he had, like, really good, like, he could heal people.
Yeah.
So I think that that might tie in together. And I thought that was Jessica's brother.
Oh.
But, I mean, we don't know. We don't know as of right now. It could be.
Yeah, that's true.
That'd be interesting. They all just survived. So let's get Dr. Carl is the, for lack of a better term, like the kingpin of this like little IGH experiment. It seems
maybe. I mean, it seems to me that he's like a rogue agent. Like,
oh, you think?
Like, because he's got Jessica's mom chained up in his basement and like has all these vials that he's brought home. Like, to me, it seems like he is separate. Like, he is part of IGH, but he has gone rogue.
Oh, I thought that more implied that IGH has shut down since all this happened, and he's basically the last surviving, like, doctor of it. Like, he's the only one carrying on the research. Because we go to the facility, and it's empty.
Well, yeah.
Maybe it's all undercover, though. Like, super undercover that he's the only one that we know of. Right now, but I think if he was the kingpin, it'd be kind of like Wilson Fisk. He's just hidden away that you don't really see him ever. I don't know.
All right.
We get that moment with Jessica at the golf course where it's like, you just went because we've got the other private detective who's like trying to investigate her, and he has a guy who's going and stealing all of her information, and that guy gets killed. And Jessica goes to jail for it. And then she breaks into a private club. And I'm like, Jess, you could go back to jail. This is still a violation of your parole. Like, she was in prison. She just got out of jail. And now she's doing stuff to get back into jail. But it was still a pretty funny moment where she throws a guy into a sand trap.
That was amusing.
Yeah.
I like the stance of just like, let's just rip into these country club dicks. I'm just gonna jump the wall. Although security was right there.
Yeah.
Gotta give it up for security. I know you're not gonna be able to handle somebody like Jessica, because she's just gonna throw you across the golf course.
Sure.
She's gonna just like pick you up, yell four, and then like hole in one. Golf terms.
Good for them, they tried.
But I did like that whole... I liked that scene.
Yeah, it was fun. And then she went and found his son. We found out that guy, basically his son was dying, and something that through IGH saved him.
Mm-hmm.
And she went and found the son and then FaceTimed the dad.
Yeah. That's some dark criminal stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she's forced to ask herself after that.
Yeah,
like,
the line.
Like, I really like that line. How far is too far? And is there ever a way back?
Yeah.
And that's a fair question. Like, she just threatened a guy's kid. A kid who had no part in any of this except that he was healed by it. Do you think that was the right move?
I mean, it was kind of a bluff, I think. I mean, she's not going to kill the kid or hurt the kid at all. Like, we see her interacting with other kids, so I think it was just she knew exactly how to get to him. It was through his son. Ta-da, look, I have your son, Mom. I'm not gonna, you know. But yeah, I don't think she's dangerous when it comes to kids. I mean, it really only comes to people that really freaking deserve it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the arc for these three episodes was about Jessica learning to control herself while Trish is losing control of herself. And so at the beginning, because we see that scene in the anger management class with the ball, which was fantastic, we see Jessica kind of realize all of the stuff that she's been keeping inside her this entire time and how she's still really angry about everything. And, like, through the course of it, we see her with Max, where she punches through an engine block. Mm-hmm. But still, we see her kind of keep it all together while Trish is slowly unraveling at the exact same time. Like, I thought that was more of an action of control than not control, where she's with the guy's kid, but it's not like Jess is going to fold him up and put him into a mm-hmm. parking lot, like, or anything like that. Where Trish is, like, bringing guns out in broad daylight at pawn shops and, like, threatening him with it. Like, Trish is completely off the rails while Jess is gaining more and more control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jess seems like she practically has her life together.
I mean, at least as much as Jess can.
Yeah. The bar yeah. is like low
yeah.
for Jess. But by her standards, her life's going decently well right now.
Well,
she got out of jail.
Yeah.
Yay.
She didn't kill the guy that everyone thought she killed.
Yeah.
She's even spending some time with Oscar.
Yeah.
That's a...
Yeah, that... I just smacked my leg into the table. Oh. And it hurts a little bit.
She's got a painter boyfriend.
She's got a painter boyfriend. That was a... So, he rejects her the first time.
Yeah.
When he's just like, let's have a drink. And she gets two drinks in and is like, just goes right for his pants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was, I guess, a natural reaction. He was like, what are you doing? Like, I just, 20 minutes ago, you hated me.
Yeah.
Like, well, 20 minutes ago, he was going to evict her.
Yeah.
And now he's not.
Yeah. Things change.
Do you guys see him getting in a position where he's going to get hurt?
I mean, he's definitely not in a safe position. He's mm-hmm. hooking up with Jess. It was a unfortunate thing. Like, I get what he was doing with the paint lines, like, around her. But he just happened to use purple.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't use that color, dude. Don't use that color.
Any color but purple.
That was an interesting twist because I remember seeing that shot where she rips open the brown paper on the painting in the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that it was going to, like, I thought that was like a Kilgrave thing that he had like planted and had drawn.
Because
the style is very reminiscent of like the style of the comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the purple is just, it all felt like Purple Man stuff. But it turns out it was just the nice painter upstairs.
Yeah. I feel like the kid is going to be the one who's in danger. Mm-hmm. I don't think the kid's going to die. But I feel like third act climax, there's going to be a situation where whatever the main villain... We still don't really know who the bad guy is in this series.
Well, especially by the end of episode 6.
Yeah.
Like, we thought we did. We thought we knew. And then in one fell swoop, they're just like, twist. And also, is this a bad guy?
Yeah. we still don't know who the bad guy is. And so, like, I'm not sure where the threat is. Like we're saying, like, Jess is right now pretty good. Like, nothing, like, she's at least got two jobs that she's working on. Her mom's back from the dead. Like, emotionally, probably really screwed up. Let's be honest. Emotionally, not great. But everything else, I mean, okay. Doing okay.
Yeah.
Which is scary, because that means it's time for something to get screwed up.
Yeah, well, so let's track her mom's story as much as we can at this point. Like, speculate at least. So, car crash.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Mom goes to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mom and Jess both theoretically die.
Yeah.
On the hospital table. They get sent to IGH. They're both brought back. Why is Jess raised as an orphan and put up for adoption if her mom survived?
Because they were not done testing on the mom.
Or maybe they just like isolating their patients.
Like octopus.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, so they can control them in a certain way. Not mind control, but... control them.
Do you think maybe her mom is too violent. Like, we've seen, so we're being presented with the fact that she is a killer or has been used as a killer. Maybe she's just not safe.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like that scene with the mom and the piano, which was a great scene with the woman coming in with her baby, which now means so many more things. She comes in with the baby, and I think Jess recognized that music because that's a song that her mom used to play on the piano for her, and that's why that scene was even more crazy when the woman came in with her baby and was like, your music really, really soothes my baby. And we see her tear apart a piano. Like, it was made out of balsa wood. It's fantastic.
So and she just like, it's like, well, gotta get rid of this.
Yeah.
Bonfire.
But yeah, it looks like the mom is number one, stronger than Jess, and number two, more out of control.
And she doesn't really have any effect after killing people. I mean, we saw her kill Price Chang's, like, sender, messenger person, and she was like, okay.
Yeah.
Done.
But I guess she's seeing it as protecting herself and her daughter at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The question is just, what are they trying to keep from Jess?
Yeah. And why hasn't she approached Jess in the last few years? Like, we saw her interact with Jess. Like, Jess talked to her at a bar. That would have been a good time to say, like, oh, by the way, I'm your mom. And instead it ended with them fighting in the street.
Yeah. What is... And I guess her face has had to change significantly for Jess not to recognize her. Like, do you think we're dealing with, like, I did plastic surgery, so I was unrecognizable plotline?
No, I mean, honestly, like, you know, if you've lived your entire life thinking your mom is dead, and then 30 years later, like, that's a long time to forget a face. And also, if your expectation is that you're never going to see her again, like, your brain will compensate for that and be like, oh, this is probably not my mom.
Like, there's no possible way that could be my mom.
Yeah. Do you think we go back, open up that box in her office and it's empty?
I feel like there's something in there for it to have weight, but
yeah, it's probably just at more fake ashes.
Other people's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so curious how that all went down.
That's so weird.
Yeah, and then on top of that, Dr. Carl and Mama Jones. I don't know what her first name is.
Yeah.
Elite. Wait, I'll get back to you.
But her
Alyssa.
She's in a relationship with Dr. Carl.
Or at least a kissing relationship.
Yeah. Some kind of relationship. Like, they're not just friendly.
He knocks her out with a syringe pretty quickly after he kisses her.
It's fair. It's a fair point.
That was after she was at the aquarium.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe that was just his way of like, girl, calm down.
Yeah. I didn't get the sense once she woke up restrained. I didn't get the sense that she was restrained permanently. It was more I know when you come out of this, you're going to instinctively be angry. And I need to control that one outburst until you see where you are and, like, that it's going to be okay.
It's like the Hulk, you know? It's like, come here, sweet boy, kind of a thing where you just got to bring him back down.
Yeah, maybe a little. I mean, we'll see. Like, it's all a question of, like, what are her powers connected to? Does she require regular injections to keep it up? Like, she's also scarred in the back, like, on her head and everything in a way that, like, Jess is pretty much completely healed.
Yeah.
Shows no signs of any trauma. She was obviously banged up enough to be dead. So whatever IGH did for her restored all of that.
I mean, that looks like a burn on the back of her head. It might be that, you know, there's only so much you can do to restore tissue.
Yeah.
That looks like just a straight up burn. Maybe a chemical burn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's true. I mean,
she was in the front seat, so she must have gotten more of whatever it was.
Yeah.
Whatever killed them. Mm-hmm. It's very possible. Let's jump over to Hogarth.
Sure.
For a bit. Like, we get there because Jess decides to stash the homeless woman who used to work at IGH.
Yeah.
With her boss slash, I don't even know what to call Hogarth at this point. And
her attorney.
Attorney her, slash client.
Her attorney pal yeah. slash client.
Yeah.
And Hogarth elects to keep her in her place.
Yeah.
We've been seeing that Hogarth, there was that scene where Hogarth sees the woman collapse on the street.
Oh.
And like, again, I think the arc for these three episodes is all about control. Hogarth is dealing with a disease where no matter how much control you have, you lose it no matter mm-hmm. what. Because your muscles will just start, and your nerves will start giving out no matter what, which is a terrifying prospect. And we see her see that woman collapse on the street, and for her that kind of represents what her future is.
Yeah.
Like Hogarth is desperate. I'm working on a theory with Hogarth. I'm not sure if she's sick.
Interesting.
Because the interaction with that doctor where the doctor seems so desperate to keep Hogarth near her and like working on palliative care and working on like 3 year, like she's like got a 3 year solution and she's got like all of these things where she's like delaying Hogarth. Like Hogarth's like, I want to go try Eastern European medication. I want to try all this medication. And she's like, oh, go through, don't leave here. Go through me. I wonder if the doctor is paid off. Because we've seen Hogarth do that before. We saw in season one, Hogarth paid off doctors to give false like diagnoses and stuff like that.
Interesting.
And so like, I'm wondering if she is sick at all. And this isn't just a power play from the partners at the firm.
Jeez.
Because it would make so much. Wow. But it makes so much sense if you look at everything that's going on. Like, and especially the way that doctor is delaying her. Like, it just doesn't, it doesn't add up. When you've got ALS, like, your doctor would not go immediately into palliative care, mm-hmm. especially if they say you've got 8 years. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Do you think the medication's not really medication, it's actually hurting her?
The medication the doctor is giving mm-hmm. her? Yeah, I think it might be like a Munchausen's disease. Well, not Munchausen's, but like something like that where like the doctor is keeping her sick.
Jeez.
Wow.
Because that...
That would be a very interesting twist. And yeah, that's like high-powered corporate
like sabotage. It all feels so. Like it's yeah. adding up to that. And that would... Because I feel like at the end of... I feel like the way they're writing the stories, at the end of this season, it's going to be about everyone getting their power back. And so either it's going to be a very sad story where, like, Jess gets her power back, Trish gets her power back, and Hogarth dies of a muscle disease, or everyone gets their power back and find like realizes who they are.
Yeah, it's not going to all be happy.
No, somebody's...
Maybe Trish loses out and Hogarth and Jess become more powerful, something like that. Malcolm probably loses as well. But
now that he's an associate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That
I like him being an associate.
Well, now it's gonna come back around because like, I trusted you to... be my associate, to be my partner, and you went and had sex with my best friend,
yeah,
who you were supposed to just be like checking in on. Come on, dude.
I don't think Jess would care about Malcolm sleeping with Trish.
I don't know. She like warns you, or she like warned him, like, right? Or did she warn Trish?
She warned Trish.
She was like, "You need to." She said, "You need to stop like baiting him on."
I think it's a two-way thing.
Oh, so you think she was just protecting Malcolm?
Well, I think she was just saying, like, hey, if you're interested in him, you should pursue it. But you shouldn't keep, like, stringing him along.
Yeah. I don't feel like she'd get mad at Malcolm more than Trish, because Trish is a grown woman, whether she has the inhaler or not. She knows what she's doing, but obviously Jess doesn't know about the inhaler.
Yeah, and Malcolm doesn't know enough about it to see what she's doing. Yeah, he's just like, oh, here's your inhaler, this giant black, allergies. Like, military-looking inhaler.
With no markings.
Yeah, no prescription written on it.
I like that Hogarth has this weird, like, relationship with the woman that she's now living with. Yeah. Where it's like they hate each other so much, but also are taking care of each other. Like, they're both taking care of each other. Mm-hmm. It's like both these women need each other, but also want to destroy each other.
Yeah, beautiful. It was really interesting to see her, like, get ready to, like, she overhears the conversation and is like, yeah. Well, fine, I'm a burden. Well, I'm just going to steal your shit.
Yeah.
And leave. And then realizes that Jerry has ALS.
Or doesn't.
Or doesn't. Yeah. But Jerry believes she has ALS. Yes. At minimum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, do you think there's a burgeoning relationship there?
I thought that from the beginning.
I mean, they've got that scene where, like, Jerry's talking to her and she takes her shirt off right in front of her. And, like, if it was any other, if it was a guy and a girl, and, like, the guy would have been like, and covered his eyes or whatever. And instead, Jerry's just like, ugh. Okay, fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could see that ship
sail
later in the season.
Yeah, maybe.
Especially as Jerry, like, starts to, like, whine and get crazier.
Yeah, I mean, she's desperate for leverage against her partners. Like, she and Jess have in all three episodes just keep talking about, like, the expense reports, lots of chocolates. For some reason, that's
$7,000 worth of chocolate.
Yeah,
was purchased by.
That's either one $7,000 chocolate or $7,001 chocolate.
7,000 Hershey bars.
Just $1 it's like the
fanciest chocolate.
Oh God. or 7,000 Ferrero Rocher.
Yes, just individual ones.
Yeah. Oh my God. That sounds wonderful, actually. All right. Before we get into predictions and final things, I wanted to take a quick moment just thank and give a shout out for our fearless leader, Maria Menounos. So I'm going to just give you guys a little bit of what they want you to hear about Maria's own podcast, which lets us do this podcast.
Nice.
Backing track to talk about this. Hey guys, do you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life? For those who do, we've got a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition, is hosted by our own AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and it comes out every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. I think Jess might benefit from this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Trish, I think, right now more than Jess, surprisingly. Because from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more, all things that our characters could need, all things that you at home could need, because these are just things keys to being a person. Let Maria be the big sister that you never had. I don't have a big sister, so that would be effective.
Yeah.
Just go to iTunes, subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment when you do. Let Maria know that it was us who got you there. Yep. Specifically, the Jessica Jones After Show.
That's right.
I think they may just mean AfterBuzz TV, but make sure they know it's the Jessica Jones After Show.
Yeah.
But yeah, Maria is an amazing person, as I've said before, when talking about this, and any support that you can give her supports not just her and the Conversations podcast, but all of AfterBuzz TV, as you do. So, do you guys have, before prediction, do you guys have any favorite moments from these episodes or stuff we just didn't get to? Because obviously there's a lot and we can only cover so much.
I really liked when the Price Chang confronted Jessica as she was leaving the jail and was like, "Oh, how did they let you out?" And was like so upset. And Jessica was like, "I'm going to go do real detective work and find the guy who killed your friend." Like, and just kind of put him in his place.
He's just standing there.
Yeah. I like that he is such a high-powered, successful guy, but still is useless in this show.
Yeah,
he came in and he seemed like such like a good, like he was like good at his job and all that, and then he just turned out to be a whiny little.
I have a feeling he's gonna die.
Prick.
Like, oh, that would be fine.
Like he's been following a lead, like follows Jessica, and is like, "I knew it," and then like the main villain squishes him. And it's like, oh, poor Price.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that, now it's just a question of who is that main villain.
Yeah.
Amy, any standouts?
Yes, well, I love as a whole that this season we're getting to see Jessica be much more than just a PI. Like, she's having to really go into psychology, especially when talking to Dave. It was Dave. Mm-hmm. That you're just like, dang, girl. Like, this is so much more than putting clues together. She's really going into his mind and trying to figure out what is the best way to ask a question without him, you know, getting crazy. So I really, really like that.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite moments was just like, and the way that she was very subtly, not manipulative, but like very, like she worked him in a way that was like, she knows what she's doing here. Mm-hmm. Like latching on to the octopus thing, like when to push, when to not. And she got exactly the information that she was there for.
Yeah.
And I'm very curious to see what what the story is with this nurse that he supposedly murdered. If it's just that, like, Mrs. Jones killed the nurse and they were just like, he's our fall guy because he's slow.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
So let's officially move into predictions.
And now you're after Buzz TV.
I love the lights.
All right. So, what are you guys thinking as we move into episode 7?
I'm gonna change my Hogarth prediction.
What?
I think that they.
That was a great prediction.
I think they gave her ALS.
Oh!
They used the genetic like
editing
with the octopus stuff and gave her ALS.
I can roll with that.
That is,
and then we will tie all of our stories together.
That is a theory.
Yeah. It's a fantastic theory.
I liked your first theory better.
I think it's all octopus. They're the ones who are manipulating everyone.
That's the main villain here.
The main villain is not Dr. Octopus, an octopus doctor.
Oh. Yeah. It was that octopus, that CGI octopus. Yeah, he's the villain.
That's what it was, guys.
That's why Dr. Carl's always going to the aquarium to look at him.
That's his boss.
He's getting instructions. Yeah. Octopus just staring him down like,
well, it's going to do it. It's using telepathy.
Yeah. But he has to be in the same room. They have to see eye to eye, and then it just projects. It's like thought speak and anamorphs.
Yeah, absolutely thought speak and anamorphs. Tobias, shout out. My red-tailed hawk friend.
Wherever you are, Tobias. Amy, any predictions?
I think Trish, for sure, in the next couple of episodes, like, something big's going to happen with her. I don't know exactly what, but something very big. And this guy, this Ian one, the one that I think is Jessica's brother.
The healer. Yeah.
Something's going to happen with him. We're going to see him or something. And
I mean, that'll be interesting to see what, because it's just like any X-Men, like, power stories. Like, what power set do these people wind up with?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it sounds to me like what I'm sort of seeing there is, like, I think when he heals people, he absorbs their damage. So, like, if you broke your arm and he heals it, his arm's going to break.
That freaking sucks.
Like, he sort of takes the injury into himself. And maybe it heals faster for him, But they say it hurts him mm-hmm. to do it. So yeah. I'll bet you it's a sort of like consequence thing. Like there was damage. Yeah. The damage will remain. It's just that you can move it somewhere else.
You have to give something or yeah. you have to take something to give it.
It's the yeah. classic sacrifice
yeah.
To use your powers. That's where I'm thinking his story is going. Oh, it's going to get real dark.
Yes.
There was an X-Men yeah. named Elixir. And he was like a healer as well. And all I remember is he turned his powers offensive where he gave someone a tumor by healing the cells so quickly that they would reproduce too quickly. And so he gave them a tumor.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's
a brutal move.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. There was another healer, X-Men, from one of the new, from like the more recent Uncanny run. And he's got like a staff.
Ooh.
I can't remember what his name was. Triage.
Triage. That's a good name.
That was the name they came up with. But yeah. He's a fun character. I don't think that's where they're going with this. One, because sure. it's not X-Men. But yeah. It's just like, who can heal in the Marvel Universe? Mostly X-Men characters.
Yeah. A lot of mutants.
Yeah. But I think that's going to do it for the after show for episodes 4 to 6. Be sure to check with us. I believe we'll be back on Sunday.
10 p.m.
I think so. Follow us on Twitter, and we'll make sure to post what time we're going to be talking about episodes 7 through 9.
Yeah.
Our next set of 3. You can find me, Zach Wilson, on Twitter or Instagram at @ZachWilson. I'll make sure to post exactly when we'll be recording, if it's going to be different from 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Check out the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show that Jesse and I both also host.
Yep.
And check out...
Also on Sunday.
Also on Sundays
yeah.
at 5 p.m. Be sure to check out, I am the writer for Game Engine, the video game show on the... Geek and Sundry Twitch and Alpha Network. Be sure to check it out. It's a lot of fun. Character bits, silly news, super fun. And I took it over as a writer a few weeks ago. So
check it out.
Amy.
You guys can find me on all social media at AmyCassandraMTZ. Also here at AfterBuzz on Netflix Picks Sunday nights at 7. Box Office Breakdown Popcorn Talk at 9. And then Marvel TV Weekly Monday nights at 7.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. Send me all your Octopus Doctor pictures at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. I'll take a look at those Octopus Doctors and tell you if they're evil or not. You can see me do comedy at Haymaker Comedy. It's our YouTube page. And yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Sunday.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. We'll be back in all the Infinity Scarves going ahead. This has been the Jessica Jones After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.